Our look into the book of James as we've been studying on last Sunday morning and some previous Sunday nights. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Like we've said before, this is a very practical book, and certainly this section is very practical as well. Sometimes we can be guilty of having lots of ideas, but not having a lot of follow-through on those ideas. Sometimes we may come up with grand ideas that we don't really want to do ourselves, but maybe we want somebody else to do those. That certainly happens a lot in the workplace. That's also very prevalent in the life of a Christian. Many times we have ideas, and we know what it is that we should do, but we don't get around to doing those things. And we need to be doing those things. In fact, this section of Scripture that we see in James chapter 1, in my Bible, it says, "Hearing and doing the Word" is the heading that my Bible has for this section. And that's important, isn't it? We need to be hearers and doers of the Word. And that's one of the things that James notes is an issue in the Christian life. And it helped, as we've said in the other lessons, we're being helped to construct a godly life. So James notes this problem that we need to hear, but we also need to do. The first thing that we see that James tells us here in chapter 1 and verse 19is to slow down. He says, "Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Anger is something that we should stay away from. Of course, we studied this morning about Jesus' righteous indignation about what was occurring in the temple. And so there is a place for anger, but what James is talking about here is this uncontrolled anger or wrath. And it certainly does need to be controlled, and it needs to be slow. And so when James starts off here, he says, "Know this." And so he's calling attention to how we are to have a godly life. He's telling Christians to slow down. Slow down and listen to what others have to say. But more importantly, and certainly relevant to this context, is that James is saying slow down and listen to the word of truth. Now, we live in a time today when it seems that people really don't slow down a whole lot. They especially when it comes to the things that come out of their mouth. They say what is on their mind. But James rather here is saying listen, slow down and listen to what God has to say. Are we moving so fast and so busy that we can't stop and listen to the word of God? I work with someone that Jarrell's been around a couple of times. She knows who I'm going to be talking about here. That he really talks a lot, and at times when he really should be letting somebody else talk, because there's things that he has just a scant knowledge of, and he should defer to the technical expert, which is me. And so I have to wait for him to take a breath. I've got to wait for my opportunity to be able to interject something. And so it's kind of a little, you know, game that I play there, just waiting for my opportunity. And so it's also very frustrating to be around that type of person that never seems to slow down on what they're saying. And so what God is saying through James here is that you do need to slow down. And we have that issue many times, that we are moving so fast and that we are so busy that we don't stop and listen to the word of the Lord. And so focusing on the word of God is something that we certainly need to do. It's something that we need to do as we come together today. One of the best things that I can do when I come to worship is to forget my phone. Is to to leave my phone at home or to have left it in the car. And so, yeah, I am just a person that's really tied to my phone because I get so much email and text from work and things. And when Jarell and I go out to eat, she puts the phone on her forehead and says, will you please look at me? You know, and so that's a thing that we're really tied to today. And so what I'm getting at here is that sometimes we're very distracted from what it is that we've come together to do. Because we're looking at our phone, or we're thinking about, you know, who's going to have the best meet and three today, or where we're going to go after services, or what our sports teams are doing. And so we need to focus on those things, not focus on what you're going to do after services, or when is Randy? I wonder how many slides he's got in his sermon today. We really need to simply slow down, and we'll not be able to do what James is saying here, to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, until you get into that groove of slowing your life down and focus your life on God. God's word can't have its proper work and effect in our lives if we do not listen to Him. And certainly this is a big problem when it comes to anger. And James is specifically addressing anger here. And there's, if you go through the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about anger. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17 says, "The one that is soon angry deals foolishly." Proverbs 14, verse 29, the hasty of spirit exalts folly. Proverbs 15, verse 18, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." And so over and over we see that the wise writer talks about the danger of anger and what is going to happen to the angry person. And we are sometimes we are wound so tight, every little thing makes us upset. When we're driving, we can't let somebody merge in front of us because we've got places to be and things to do, and we're running behind, and it seems everybody that is on the road is trying to make it inconvenient for us on purpose. And you go through the drive-thru, and they make you pull up every time. And so, you know, we can't wait. And, you know, one of the practical ways that we can be slow to anger is just to try to be a little bit more patient. And certainly we need to stop, you know, squeezing God out of our busy lives. You know, slow down and pray. Slow down and study. Read the Word of God. You know, come to worship. Come to Bible classes. Concentrate on what it is that you're doing. Spend time in the Word alone or with your family. And so James says every person needs to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so the reason that we need to slow down is because it's not really bringing us the righteousness that we want or what God demands. Quickness to anger is not producing a life of holiness and purity. And so the song that was led right before the lesson was perfect. You know, "Pure in heart, O God." And that's what James is telling us that we should be putting on. Couple of more passages in Proverbs that help us to understand this. Sorry that that's so small on the screen. I didn't mean to do that. Let's see. There we go. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quickly holds it," or quietly holds it back. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit." We see this sometimes, don't we? There's politicians that are going to say everything that's on their mind when they really should keep quiet. And we are constantly seeing that. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Proverbs 17, verse 27 says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered." One of the best bosses that I ever had, I was very I admired very much her ability to not react to things, and to, no matter how angry people were around her and how much things seemed to be out of control emotionally with other people, she was always able to keep her cool and just deal with the facts and strategically, you know, maneuver through what if it had been me on the other end, I would have wanted to react. If somebody's reacting emotionally to you, you want to react emotionally to them. She didn't do that. And James is telling us this angry spirit, what's happening with the angry spirit? Well, it's never listening. Usually, it's reacting. And the angry spirit is never a listening and teachable spirit. Anger keeps us from having the life that God demands us to have. It keeps us from learning, keeps us from listening, keeps us from transforming our lives into godliness and holiness. Also, in verse 21, James says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." You see the picture there of pulling that weed. You've got to keep pulling those weeds out of your life. These things that are bad, they don't need to be taking control of your life. You know, in our neighborhood, we have some people that are using True Green or some of the other services that come along, and they spray your lawn once in a while. And you can tell the ones that are using the service, because they're yards that are right next to each other. One's overrun with weeds and the other is not. And of course, they're paying for that service, but some people are taking care of that, taking care of the weeds. And I guess since Ethan and Brennan are gone, it's up to Jarell and I, even though it was always hard to, you have to bribe them to get them to pull weeds. But that one thing that I always hated doing that my parents had us to do. But if we didn't do it, they would take over. And James says moral defilement and every form of morally bad behavior, it needs to be plucked away. It needs to be put away. And so James is really calling here for a spiritual house cleaning. You know, it's the proper response to the Word of God, and being quick to listen is this point of learning from the Lord and putting away all filthiness. You consider the picture of somebody that's come home from a long day of manual labor. What's the first thing that they should do? Is they need to take off the dirty clothes and put on something clean, or their wife is going to say, don't sit down, don't touch anything. You need to take care of that. And the proper response to the word of the Lord is to put it away. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. You're not going to be successful living the life of a Christian if you have not stripped your life away of these weeds and filth that the word of God can be planted in your hearts. And of course, when you think about this, you automatically think about the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, and what happened when the ground was not prepared to take the word. The rocky soil wasn't prepared to take the word. The thorny ground, the thorns took over, and the weeds took over. And so the properly prepared ground had its proper effect. The condition of the hearts of the people were prepared to hear the word, but the weeds choke out the word, so it doesn't have its proper effect. So you cleanse your heart, and with humility receive the word, as James says here, with meekness receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Remember what we talked about last time, that how are we tempted? Well, we are lured and we are enticed by temptations because of desires and wickedness, and not removing those things from our life, not removing those weeds and those entanglements, and getting away from those things. So you let the word become implanted in your heart by receiving it with meekness and humility. And it has the power to save you if it's implanted into a a weed-free heart. So James is saying you have to be teachable, and you have to be submissive and be ready to receive the Word of God with humility. Not pride or arrogance. And that's really number one when it comes to our life as Christian. How are we gonna accept, you know, salvation if we can't admit that we're wrong? If we're not humble enough to say that we have an issue that needs to be corrected. Those on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their hearts, and they didn't have pride or arrogance, evidently, because they were able to humbly say, you know, we've got a problem, how do we fix it? And that's what we have to do to receive the salvation of God. Also, along this same line, verses 22 through 25 tells us that we need to be able to listen. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so, really, you could paraphrase this here and say, listen to obey. Because that's what James is saying. When you listen and you hear instructions, it doesn't go in one ear and out the other, which was one of my mom's favorite phrases. You know, I tell you, it goes in one ear and out the other. That means it didn't take effect. You heard what I said. You heard some words. You heard some noise. But it didn't seem to take effect in your brain at all. So hearing the word must be followed up by obedience. And with the word of God implanted in our hearts, what does seed do? Well, it should sprout. It should grow. It should bear fruit. And so putting that seed in the ground is not the goal, right? When I was helping my dad, you know, grow things in the garden that I didn't want to eat, but I was fascinated with the process of putting the seed in the ground and going every day and looking to see if anything happened yet. I was very impatient. Imagine that. But I was very impatient at that seed coming up out of the ground. And once it did, it was fascinating to watch it grow and to bear okra or whatever it was that we were growing, squash of every kind known to man. But you saw that come up. The goal of putting that seed in the ground was not just to put the seed in the ground. It was for something to happen. And James is telling us that same thing, that when you hear the word, it's not just so that you can hear it. The goal is not the hearing. The goal is the obeying. Obeying what you have heard is the goal. And you deceive yourself if you think that listening is enough. James illustrates what a person is like when listening to the Word of God that doesn't do what the Word of God says. And he uses the illustration of looking into the mirror and going away, forgetting what he was like. There have been times in our marriage where Drea has looked at me and said, "Did you even look in the mirror?" So evidently not, you know, or I did, and I was like this, and I saw something, or I was still so sleepy, I didn't see what she saw. So James pictures this person who looks in the mirror and sees the flaws and perfection. And rather than make the corrections, you know, walks away, you know, forgetting what he looked like. I got up to East Tennessee this last week and looked in my bag, and I had one brown shoe. And I looked and looked for a store that would sell me a right brown shoe, but they wouldn't. So I had to buy another pair of shoes. You know, if I had looked at what I was doing, you know, it would have been silly for me to look in the bag, okay, I've got one brown shoe, you know, I'm ready to go. And that would have been something that I would have fixed had I known. And if you look in the mirror and you notice that your hair is out of place, your hair is standing up, well, a lot of people like their hair standing up these days. But if you look at that and it's not what you want, you choose to walk away and not fix it, What have you accomplished? Why did you even look? And that's the person who is the hearer of the Word of God and not a doer. The person who hears what God says about their life. The Word of God is identifying problems and then walks out the door making no changes and forgetting the flaws. And certainly this is a problem for Christians. You know, we come to worship, you know, we hear what we need to do, and the Word of God steps on our toes, and we're made aware of flaws and things that we have in our lives, and we sing the last song, we have the last prayer, and then walk out the door and we forget all about it. And that was always something very frustrating to my father, which I've mentioned before, because he would preach very hard on some subjects that he knew were needed and people needed to be convicted to do better. And they'd shake his hand and say, "Brother Frank, that was a fine sermon," and go back out and not do any of it, not respond to any of it. And sometimes we do that. You know, we know that it's something that we need to do, but it's like we look in the mirror. We've heard it, but hearing's not enough. James says you don't just want to hear it and not do it. He says, do not be deceived. That the hearing of the Word of God is not salvation. Verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Who is going to be blessed in his doing? The one who acts, the one who hears and does. So what good is it to hear it and not do it? Jesus certainly taught the same thing when he was here on his ministry. Luke chapter 11, verse 27, it says, he said these things, and a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So she was praising him for who he was and who he came from, but he said, the one that's really blessed is the one that hears the Word of God and keeps it. And so that's the lesson that Jesus taught. That's the lesson that James is teaching. The contrast here is that Christians keep looking, they keep doing, they look in the mirror, they keep doing, they keep fixing. The Christian returns to the mirror and sees something else, and then they go off to fix that problem. So James is picturing that person who over and over and over keeps looking into God's perfect law. And that's what we do when we come together. You know, the things that we see in the book of James, as we've talked about in the other lessons, they're very practical. And some of these lessons are very simple. They're ones that we have heard before. And why do we keep repeating them? Because we need it? Because is there anybody here that can say that I'm doing everything that James says that I ought to do? I never lose my temper. I never get angry to the point of sin. Every time that I look in the mirror into the law of liberty, I always do everything that I should do, and there's not any room for improvement. Certainly, nobody can say that or should say that. But the Christian perseveres in God's Word. The Christian is always studying, always examining, always improving. And that is the one that James says is blessed. The one who is found acceptable to God. Not somebody that just listens to the Bible and rushes away forgetting what it taught. Don't be forgetful hearers, but be doers. Slow down. Listen to God. Don't be quick to speak. Don't be quick to anger. Put away all filthiness. Get the heart clean of weeds. These are all very practical lessons that we all need to be able to do. And James is going to give us another practical teaching on how to be acceptable to God, and another picture here of what it means to be doers of God's Word, not simply hearers, when he talks about being having a controlled tongue and having pure religion. In verses 26 and 27, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, deceives his heart, this person's religious is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. So James has already mentioned, you know, being slow to speak and quick to hear and to control your anger. And here he mentions it again because evidently there are people that can't control their tongues. And so he's repeating this. And so he says a person who cannot control their tongue, what is he revealing about himself? He says that this person's religion is worthless. If he cannot learn to control his tongue, you are lying to yourself to think that you are a Christian who loves Jesus when you can't keep your tongue under control. And James isn't going to stop talking about this here. He's going to talk more about it in chapter 3. So James here is going to use the picture of the bridle on the tongue. The tongue is supposed to be reined in. And I have never heard of somebody having to have a tongue transplant because their tongue stopped working. Have you ever heard of that? Never have I heard of that. Maybe it has happened. I've wished that sometimes somebody's tongue would quit working, but it doesn't usually, you know, every other part of your body may give out, but your tongue keeps going. The tongue is supposed to be reined in. And you know what we hear today, and people take great pride in this, that I'm just going to tell it like it is. And they say that proudly. Where does God's Word say you're supposed to keep it real? Let's just keep it real. You hear that all the time, don't you? When somebody is about to open the floodgates and say everything that's on their mind. Let's keep it real. Let's say what's on our minds. You know, Christians are not supposed to have galloping tongues. God does not want us to speak our minds as the way that people describe that today, where you're just going to let loose and say whatever it is that you want to say. Go back to verse 19. What did he say? He said, be slow to speak. He didn't say open up the floodgates. You need to watch what you say and think about what you say. And we see way too much of this today in the world where people just say whatever it is, this stream of consciousness type of speaking. Another thing that James said that is going to define whether or not you have pure religion is your care for the unfortunate. Religion is that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. And so what is acceptable to God is that you have a controlled tongue. What is acceptable to God is that you care for the unfortunate. Orphans and widows were generally the most helpless people in the Jewish society. And so certainly they would be pointed out here because they didn't have anybody to provide for their food or clothing for them. And certainly you can see in the Old Testament, the Scriptures are filled with the teaching in the Old Testament to take care of those situations. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, wash yourselves, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct opposition. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. So you see here, Isaiah specifically points out the fatherless and the widows needing help and needing justice. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, John says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his eyes to the need, how can God's love reside in him? Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action, with word and deed. And so control your tongue and care for those that need care. That is acceptable religion. Another thing that, and certainly both of these things emphasize this point of being a doer. Here's things that you need to do. Number one, control your tongue. Number two, take care of the unfortunate. And number three, he says, to keep unstained. You need to keep yourself unstained from the world. The Christian must remain unstained from the world. We live in a world where there is much sinfulness around us. And as Brother David prayed in his prayer today, he talked about the world that we live in calls good evil and evil good. And we constantly see that. And just because the world breaks down God's laws or breaks God's laws or softens them does not mean that we can do the same. In our bulletin today, there's an article by Adam Shanks, who's going to be preaching in our meeting, and he talks about this, about how, and I can't remember the title of the article, but he talks about how in the world today that there are those that oppose God's Word and how you must speak up, or you must be offensive. Or people are going to be offended by you, but you do not become so sensitive to that you don't want to offend. We see that in the life of Christ. There were many people that he offended because they needed to be offended, because he was saying something that they didn't believe or something that they didn't want to do. And we are in such a touchy-feely society today that nobody wants to offend anybody else, and that's very hard to do because people will be offended by the least little thing. And just because the world doesn't want to hear the Word of God does not mean that we need to close our mouths. Yeah, we do need to be slow to speak, but when it comes to remaining unstained from the world and teaching the Word of God, that's certainly not a time that we need to keep our mouths closed. You need to hear God's words. You need to do them. And that's what James is emphasizing here. Be a doer, not a hearer. I think we're generally pretty good at hearing. And like I said, these things are probably not new to us that we've looked at this morning. But what may be new is that maybe we haven't been the doer that we should be. Maybe we've been a hearer much too long, but we haven't been a doer. We know what it is that we need to do. Parents, many times when their children make mistakes, they say, "You knew better than that." And God says the same thing to us. "You know better than that." Well, how do we know better? Because we've heard, but we haven't done. Let's do better. Let's do what we know to do. And James says we will be blessed if we will do that. I hope this will be useful to you and an encouragement to you as you strive to live the life that James is telling us to build as a Christian. We can help you in any way to do that. We invite you to come while we stand together and sing.